My name is Mary White Eye. I was born in Detroit on July 4th, 1954. Where's your mic?
Could you tell me your name and where you were born?
My name is Mary White Eye. I was born in Detroit, Michigan, and I'm 33 years old.
What's your band membership?
I am a member of the Moravian of the Thames Band, and I was married into the band here. Originally, my family's from Walpole Island.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get interested in beadwork?
Oh, I remember as a child going to the Walpole Island powwow. It seemed at that time that everyone participated in the powwow. And as I got a little older, I had an eye for what I wanted. But what I wanted was not available. Mm-hmm. So I decided that it was time to start making things for myself. There were small outlets, leather craft work outlets that made little production moccasins. They were mechanically produced, and that wasn't what I was looking for. I was looking for something with real Indian heart.
And were you taught at an early age about beadwork? Did your grandparents or where did you learn this?
Well, my grandparents both passed on before I was born, and my family did have an interest in beadwork and different types of crafts, but I remember that sewing was always a part of my growing up.
So is this what made you interested in beadwork? Was that you've seen it at an early age?
Yes, I remember seeing it, and I remember just wanting to be a part of the things that were going on there at the Walpole Island powwow. It was something so different. I lived in the city, and when we came to the reserve, it was just something that everyone was involved in, and I wanted to be a part of that.
How long have you been doing your beadwork?
I started trying to learn as a student in high school. I had an art class that was very liberal, and we were given art projects. And rather than studying the run-of-the-mill art, I studied native art, and I had a loom for my project. And that's where I started with making small pieces, headbands, and other items on a loom.
What do you get out of it?
I get a personal satisfaction that's very hard to explain. You have a peace of mind that comes from starting and finishing something. There are quiet times, thoughts, a time when you are deep into concentration. And also, as far as the project itself, when I start something, I can see it in my mind, and to make that transformation from an idea into something that you can see and touch, it's quite a memorable experience.
Do you use certain materials or designs, symbols, and the colors in your work, do they have all meanings?
Yes, the colors, I stick to the traditional four colors for my daughter and myself. We're both traditional dancers, and the colors are black, and white and red and yellow, representing the colors of the directions as well as the colors of the races on the earth. And the patterns, I've tried to stick to traditional geometric patterns for my daughter and for myself, since I have married into the Delaware Nation here. I've begun looking further into what type of outfits and material that the Delaware people used. The purse is a traditional Delaware sign with the curved and floral beadwork.
Is that what they call the bandolier purse?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever make your own designs?
I've made my own designs. I used to compete in the women's fancy dance competition, and all of my designs were my own, and I picked the colors for myself. And I liked red, white, and blue because my birthday's on July the 4th, so I was quite a patriot. And combining that, you know, that would look so that it would fit my person. I notice when you put the two colors together, red and blue, from a distance, they blend into a real nice purple type of a color. And I would go with backgrounds for pink and lavender, different shades that I could wear and that would complement the red, white, and blue.
The designs on your outfit, or the way you make your outfit, does it vary from Native people to Native people?
Yes, I...
Like some wear a skirt in the top and some wear the full length. And
yes. Because when I started dancing, most of the outfits were skirts and tops. And so, because I was so new at that time, I knew very little about Native gatherings. I looked and I watched. And so this is what I saw, and this is my knowledge, and this has been some 15 years now. And so I maintain that, and even the style that the dresses and the tops that I make are in the fashion that I first observed when I began.
What's the difference between a fancy dancer and a traditional dancer?
Oh, a fancy dancer is much more expressive of themselves in competition. They're looking to express themselves in their style of dress and as well as their style of dancing. A traditional dancer is much more conservative and much more easily identified as to what they wear and the way they dance.
Now that you've, you say you went traditional, do you still believe in competitive dancing?
A competition is not an issue with me anymore. The fancy dance competition, I would say, holds a lot of excitement. And in my experiences, I've learned that is a more self-fulfilling type of a endeavor.
Do you feel that by competing, you find that there's a lot of jealousy among the people?
Yes, yes.
Way?
This is part of my learning, and as a Native person, and you, as you're involved in the gatherings, you hear legends, you hear traditions, and to incorporate that into your lifestyle as an individual, you realize that the competitiveness ebbs. It's not so much of a factor as being able to do what you do best, whether it's beadwork or whether it's driving a car.
What does your family think about the craft work that you do, and how do they show up?
Oh, my family is very supportive of our crafts. Sometimes it's hard to get the things that you need, whether it's the right color thread or the bones or tin cones, the right size beads, right size needles, beeswax. There's so many things, and if they aren't available to me, and I let some of my family members know that, gee, I'm making this, but I don't have this or that, they will take it upon themselves to help look and supply that.
And what does your, what does the Native community do to show how they feel about your work?
The Native community is also very supportive. We've done programs at the Ridgetown School here during Thanksgiving holidays and at other times to share what we have and help them to understand what we're about. And when we did these programs, that we would practice, like, to make sure that we were doing our best. And we had the kids gather at the community hall and dance. And it was really, to me, it was very touching. The kids all knew that our children dance. And they would come up and say, do you have a pair of slippers I can borrow? Do you have a pair I can wear? Do you have a headband? I don't have nothing to put in my hair. And the kids all do have extra changes. So we spread out everything we could and let them use what they wanted. And it, to me, it was an indication of how strong the interest was. And I wanted to share so much with the kids, but it takes so much time and so much of a financial input that I told them that if their parents were willing to help and if they would get material, I'd be glad to help them make outfits for themselves. And to right today, this was 3 years ago, and still these little ones come and want to dance with us, and they want to learn how to do beadwork and learn different songs and just learn more about themselves.
What does the non-Native community think and feel about your work? And what's the response of the schools or church, the government, when you were doing this?
Well, the response of the school, I think they were somewhat shocked that our tradition was as important as it is to us. They didn't feel that perhaps Native culture was anything that was existent today, maybe something in the past or something that was long ago. And the reason I have this impression is because when we went to the school to do the program, I took a poster to the principal and the teacher that had asked us to be there. And it was a poster, I think you might have seen it, the one where the an open letter, parents' open letter to the teacher. And they were so shocked and so thankful to be able to read something that they could relate to as far as educators of Native children. And they, you know, had the whole school stand up and say thank you, and they put the poster up on the wall so that the other non-Native children could read that and maybe help understand some of their peers at school that were Native. And I thought that was the most rewarding part for me, that they did accept that and they were so thankful that we did reach an understanding as far as our culture was concerned.
Do you recall any traditional stories that speak of the Native women's work? And could you maybe tell us?
I recall hearing one story, and it's not from this area. Our family has gone to the West Coast in our travels, and I heard a story about an old Sioux woman that was making a pot of stew, and every time she'd get up to stir the pot of stew, the wind would blow her porcupine quills away, and then she'd have to start again and gather more. And as she's sitting, waiting for her stew to cook, she's working on her personal items that she might wear. And the moral of the story was that a woman's work is never done, as long as the wind is blowing and the grass is growing. Women have work to do.
Do you feel that the craft work has a lot to say about Native people? And does it teach your children different things?
Oh yes, I think that the craft work has something to say about the artist, because I've seen and talked to so many different Native artists that when you see their works, and you enjoy their artwork, and you talk to them about it, you can see the sense of developing their spiritualness, bringing out their own interpretations on life or whatever their subject happens to be. And I had another thought. It escapes me now. What was the last part of that question?
Well, it's like, does the beadwork teach your children?
Oh, yes, that was it. That we hit it right on the head. Dennis done a school project. They're all required to do a science fair project or a hobby project. So he decided to take his beadwork in as his project, and he won on the hobby category of the science fair that year. He got first place because we outlined exactly what this meant to him and his learning from it. There is an educational significance, especially in the geometric patterns in beadwork. A lot of people don't understand, and they maybe wouldn't understand, but the mathematical ability that it takes to make a geometric pattern depends on the angles, the number of beads, and if you have a prime number and you have a geometric pattern that you want to come to a point, it never will, because the prime numbers can only be divided by one and themselves. So in his project, we listed the fact that the educational significance of the geometric patterns was that prime numbers won't fit. So like I mentioned earlier, when you're sitting there and you're wrapped in your thoughts and these things are going through your head, you think of those things and you remember them because you're concentrating so deeply on what you're doing. So there is great educational significance in Native culture, besides the self-discipline. I think it teaches a person a lot.
When I do beadwork, it teaches me patience. And it teaches me patience with my child. It also teaches my child patience.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at the circle of life, and you cut them up in a lot of like little like a piece of pot, and you keep cutting them, and each section would be like a baby, a toddler, and it would go down, and each section is patience, knowledge, wisdom, guidance, all the way through the circle. And with my beadwork, I think with everybody's beadwork, it teaches that, but a lot of people don't know that either.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Like with the geometric, that's with math. And with the other.
Well, see, in this project, we felt that it was very important to stress what the historical significance of it was, the treaties that were made and represented in beadwork, the wampum belts. That's part of history, and we have to know that. And the idea that Native students maybe aren't so competitive in school, I think they need different opportunities to express themselves and for that train of thought to surface.
Maybe you can tell us about a wampum belt.
Wampum belts are considered, they were considered a precious trade material because they were made from a shell that was found on the eastern coast, and out of the shells only one purple bead could be made, and that was the valuable part of the wampum beads. When the English and other colonists came, they brought trade materials that were mass-produced, and consequently it took the value away from what these belts represented. A lot of time and a lot of effort went into shaping the beads, shining them, polishing them, and when the beads were brought over in quantity, there was no more value to that. The value in it was that they were something that took time to develop, something that took effort and something that was made out of the wampum beads was a binding agreement.
It just hit me because I use the magus shell a lot, and the magus shell is I've had a lot of Native people ask me, why do I use it? And I asked them, well, how come you don't know about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the magus shell was at one time used to blow the breath into a Native person, to blow the life into a Native person. When I make stuff, I just make like one strand, and then I put one shell at the bottom, and I thought, this is just plain, you know? It's nothing.
But you're traditional, too, so you understand that, see?
So
and
I try to explain it as best as I can, but it's really hard to explain to a non-Native person or to someone that really doesn't understand about it. Do you feel... What crafts do you feel that aren't being done today that were being done in the past?
Oh, where I come from, there was a man that did the most beautiful black ash baskets. And I remember seeing him pounding the logs, peeling the strips off, and just from a log making the most beautiful baskets. Different colors, he would dye the strips and turn them into such works of art. And this man has passed on now for some 5 or 6 years.